And our talk topic today is the replacements. So the replacements is what we're looking for. And I tell you what, there's a lot of good ones coming in. We've had that one about the Socceroos. Barnsley and Mossy, I have nothing else. Kind regards to Pinnacle. Don't understand about that one. A replacement player's dream. Here's a good one. Former St George hooker Chris Guider, playing in the 1985 under-23s grand final win versus Parramatta. Then he comes on as a replacement in the reserve grade grand final winning against Canberra. Then he's used as a second half replacement for Phil Ritchie in the first grade grand final, going within an ace of making it three premierships on the one day. Saints lost 7-6 to Canterbury. That's Eddie from Glenfield. That's a good one.
Mm.
Chris Guider, that was famous, wasn't it? It'll never happen again because you have to finalise your squads.
Nor will you ever get, probably, a world-class footballer like Roger Miller falling asleep in the first half in a World Cup in the dressing room and then coming out and scoring winning goals.
I reckon there's a chance of that. I reckon someone somewhere is so laid back.
How do you possibly do that?
They're almost horizontal. You could almost use that to describe our next guest when he played cricket. He made it look so easy. I know he wasn't doing it easy. He wasn't. You know, it looked effortless, but there was effort there. I think I'm right in saying that. I haven't upset you too much, have I, Mark Waugh? Good morning, mate.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I actually did fall asleep before I was waiting to go into bat a few times. Yeah, that was more nerves. So maybe Roger Miller was just so nervous, mate. That's why I fell asleep.
So are you serious? You fell asleep out of nerves?
Oh, you definitely close your eyes. You think you're sitting there waiting to go into bat for 3 or 4 hours in a, you know, it can get a bit claustrophobic too in some of the dressing rooms and some of the viewing rooms. So, yeah, but it wasn't because I wanted to fall asleep. It just happened. My nerves, that's the way it... My body reacted to being nervous sometimes.
Do you remember what your innings was like when you did get out in the middle?
Yeah, well, it's not the ideal situation, isn't it, when you're asleep, then bang, you've got to go out and play someone bowling 140 kilometres an hour. I did get a few first ball ducks. I don't know whether that was the contributing factor or just lack of skill, but it's interesting the way, you know, people react to their nerves.
All right, well, the skill's been there for Australia. The execution of those skills... might have been in question. When it rains, it pours. No one scored a century. Then we get three in this first innings. Is that a reflection on better application from the Australian batsmen, the pitch that has greeted them at Manuka, or the bowling attack that Sri Lanka have served up?
Well, I'd say all three. The percentages of which one's been the most important factor out of those three is questionable. But great to see. I mean, you can only bat and score runs against your opposition you're playing against.
Yep.
You know, Joe Burns, Curtis Patterson, Travis Head have got the magical 100 in this game on a very good batting pitch, you know. But to be fair, I mean, Australia were 3 for 20 in that first hour and the ball was swinging around. So, you know, Burns and Head had to get through that. And then Curtis Patterson had to get through the second new ball. They all had a bit of luck, but, you know, great to see, you know, those starts and those 50s converted to 100s. I guess the challenge is now... is doing that against better opposition, which we'll find out in the Ashes later in the year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Junior, you know, sometimes you need the confidence rebuilder. Is this the one that we needed, given the summer that we've had?
Yeah, look, I think it certainly doesn't help, Moss, you know, in sport. You know, when you're winning, it's a good culture throughout the dressing room and a good feeling, and getting that winning feeling back doesn't matter who you beat. It's just good to do it. I mean, if you happen to lose or draw, say, against a weak opposition, that's even more debilitating. So very important for the camp and Justin Langer, the coaching staff, just to get a good feeling back within the playing group. And, you know, moving ahead, you know, you look at England, they're getting beat by the West Indies, who you would have thought wouldn't be any opposition to England, but England have lost over there. They get a bit complacent. So, you know, things change very quickly in sport mentally, as well as the actual results. So, you know, this would be great for Australia. You know, they should win this test match. I mean, there's a bit of work to do. You know, they've got to get Sri Lanka out twice on a pretty flat pitch. But if we happen to win this test, we win 2-0. And I think it's just good for the guys in the group to get that confidence in the right direction.
Mark, we've had a number of people this morning sending in SMS questioning the captaincy of Tim Payne. They thought he batted too slowly at the crease there when they were looking to get quick runs. And, you know, when you get 530-odd, you know, it's here or there on that one. And certainly the way he used Mitchell Starc and then some of the field placings. What have been your thoughts on Tim Payne's captaincy over the first 2 days?
Oh, look, I think I haven't seen all the first 2 days, but I think generally since he's been captain, I think tactically he's been pretty good. So to probably pick on, you know, these 2 days, Yeah, there's things he probably could have done a bit different. But if you watch Test cricket over the last couple of years, you notice that most teams bat for way too long. They just seem to do it. I don't know why. They don't get the game going forward probably as quick as the spectators or the commentators would like. But there's no doubt they've got their tactics. You know, they would have spoken about how long they wanted to bat and, you know, the way to beat Lanka. You know, it mightn't be as obvious to the people watching, but they would have had their plans. But I think generally, I think Tim Payne's done a really good job as captain. So I don't see these couple of days sort of, you know, making any impact on his captaincy overall. I think he's been really good.
Mm. Let's talk Usman Khawaja. I think he's averaged around 23 this summer. I heard Michael Vaughan come out yesterday on the TV and say that he's got a nervous wait to see if he'll be on the plane. Your thoughts, Junior?
Look, I think he'll be on the plane because I still think he's probably our third best player behind Smith and Warner. But clearly, there's something not right there. He's just not the player he was even, you know, 3 or 4 months ago in the UAE. He batted beautifully over there. Look, I don't know definitely, but I just wonder whether off-field issues are worrying him. It just looks like to me he's just not focused. He's just not there. You know, he's there. I think I sent out a tweet a couple of days ago. I said he's there in body, but he's not there in mind. He doesn't look happy. You know, without knowing details, I just think he needs a bit of a break or something, or I don't know. But I think he still should go to England because, as I said, I think he's one of our better players. And at the moment, there looks like there's technical issues there, but I think it's more mental. I just don't think he switched on for whatever reason. You'd have to ask him, but he's not the player he was a few months ago.
Interesting to hear Kerry O'Keefe, your colleague, talk about Curtis Patterson and his peers across domestic cricket would have said for a long time that he's the next best. Like, he's the guy who should get the go. He only got the go because he got a couple of hundreds in the trial game, really, against Sri Lanka. Yep. And then he's paid it back in spades. He's a guy who you would think now has booked his spot on the plane.
Yeah, you'd imagine so. I mean, we're sort of looking for someone, a steadying influence in that middle order. I don't think six is his spot. I think probably down the track, maybe four or five. But when I was a selector, we definitely spoke about Curtis Patterson. He's been on the radar for a few years. He's been in Australian A teams. The selectors have probably been waiting for him just to convert those 50s and 60s into hundreds.
Right.
And once he's done that, they've given him the green light. So he's always been a really consistent and a good solid player, good character, pretty simple technique. You know, you think, you're looking at him, he's got a good package to survive at test match level. I think moving forward, he's going to get his chance, I think, in that middle order. I mean, he had a bit of luck, didn't he, in this game? Oh. Just dropped first ball. And he gets out for a duck. We're not talking about him, but he's taken his chance. He's looked good. He's looked the part. So, you know, you look at his first-class record, it's in the low 40s, which is probably one of the better records floating around Australian domestic cricket. So he's deserved his spot, and he's taken his chance. So now he's got to keep up that standard against better opposition, which is going to be the test for him.
Yeah. Speaking of records, mate, a distinguished career as a player, coach, selector and administrator is going to come to an end soon. Greg Chappell announcing he'll retire age 70.
Yeah, look, he's been around the scene for obviously quite a few years being that age. But, you know, I got a chance to work with Greg only for a little while as a selector at the back end of my selection career, so to speak, and you know, he's a very well respected figure, and he's put a lot into the game, both at the top level and also, you know, the National Academy in Brisbane, where he's done a lot of work there with younger guys. He's been overseas as a coach in India. He ruffled a few feathers over there. You know, he got rid of a few of their senior players, so I don't think he's going back to India for a holiday in a too distant future. But I think it's a good move. I think it's, you know, maybe time to get some fresh blood into the selection panel, some guys a little bit younger and that sort of thing. That's not to say Greg hasn't done a great job, but, you know, you need to refresh and reboot. So, you know, well done to him on a great career after cricket. So interesting to see who they replace him with. When I stepped down as a selector, they didn't replace me with anybody. So they didn't think my spot was too important.
No, yeah, that, they thought you were irreplaceable. That's right.
Well, maybe, yeah. Maybe they couldn't find enough money or something. I don't know. But, it'd be interesting to see who takes charge that position. So interesting times.
Just on that, given the Thunder lost last night to the Sixers and now are essentially out of Big Bash League 08, are you still the governator or are you swinging over to the Magenta now?
Mate, I'm the governor, but yeah, my car might start steering towards the SCG instead of Butler Stadium. But, that was disappointing, actually. Yeah, the Thunder, at the start of the competition, I had them pegged down as, you know, a certain semi-finalist, but, gee, they've been poor.
Mm.
I mean, they've had a few things go against them with the lights not working at the Gab and rain intervening a few games, but you'd have to say their batting and their overseas players have really let them down. Apart from Josh Butler at the start of the tournament, their overseas players have given them nothing. So that's definitely hurt the Thunder. So we'll cheer for the Sixers now. I think they're right in the contest for winning this BBL. I think the Hurricanes, obviously, Renegades are there, and I think the Stars are the dark horse in the BBL.
Mm, that'd be interesting. All right, mate. Well, no runner for Kim today, too.
No, where they on today?
Sapphire Coast and Dubbo.
No, nothing. We've had an unlucky week. We've had a lot of seconds and thirds this week. So next week, not sure, actually. I'm just off to Adelaide now to the Big Bash, so...
I was going to say, mate, you're not taking a nice leisurely stroll around Terrigal this afternoon?
No, I'd like to, mate. I'd like to. Yeah, nice part of the world, isn't it?
You used to bump into Junior on on the coastal walk up there when I was coaching the Mariners.
Yeah, get up the skillion there. Shed a few kilos, I know.
Oh, yeah, mate, you used to run the skillion. I used to look at it.
I don't know about run it. Jeez, I wouldn't call it run. I'd say trot or canter. It's not a lot of pace.
Well, look, it's great that you two can catch up.
We better get on with
work.
Yeah,
exactly. Hey? We've got a radio show to run here, so we're going to keep going with that. Mark, appreciate your time. Enjoy Adelaide.
Okay, see you guys.